We're talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Man, can you believe it? We have 3 weeks until the start of training camp. Time is flying by. It's already July 2nd, and before you know it, we'll be in the heat of training camp, and then on to the preseason, and then before you know it, the regular season will be upon us. Welcome into Talking with TD. As you can tell by my voice, it is not TD. It is Parker. I am filling in for TD today as he is taking a very much well-deserved vacation, and after all, it is 4th of July, and I think it is funny that he was talking to me after we recorded the show last week, and he was like, hey, do you want to fill in for the show for July 4th week, or you just want to can it? And I look at him, I'm like, hey, TD, we got to give the people what they want. There's still plenty of stuff to talk about, contrary to popular belief, and I know most people consider this a slow time of year, but guys, there's a lot to talk about because, again, in 3 weeks, training camp will be here, and then we'll be in the heat of battle. So I wanted to talk about five kind of under-the-radar impact players for the Titans that I could see in 2025. And then I have taken on the challenge head-on. I have my predictions for the final 53-man roster for the Tennessee Titans. It wasn't easy, but I feel pretty good about it, and I'm going to share it at the end of the show. Let's go ahead and get into it. So, five under-the-radar impact players for the Tennessee Titans, and I didn't go with obvious answers like Cam Ward, because obviously we all expect him to be the starter. I tried to pick a mixture of younger players who may not be getting the bulk of the conversation. You know, guys like Cam Ward, obviously, the number one overall pick, Jeffrey Simmons, Calvin Ridley, guys like that. Those are some of the main focal points when talking about the Tennessee Titans. I wanted to pick five guys that may not be getting the same love, for lack of a better word, but guys that I could see being an impact in 2025. And these are in order, by the way. So the first player I have on this list, Elik Aiemanir, fourth round pick, rookie, wide receiver, a guy that I actually wanted the Titans to select going into the draft. Now, I thought Elik Aiemanir was going to be a day two pick. He ended up sliding to day three, which, again, I did not expect. And then when the Titans picked Chimere Adike in the fourth round, I'm like, oh, well, they already have a receiver. And then they make some moves and they end up selecting Elik Aiemanir later in the fourth round as well, which I loved because I loved Elik Aiemanir coming into the draft and I did not expect him to be there. So I think as it stands right now, that is great value for the Tennessee Titans. Physically, observing him throughout rookie minicamp onto OTAs and then the 3-day mandatory minicamp, physically, Elik Aiemanir has all the tools that you would want in a wide receiver. He's big. He's got a nice frame, a strong lower body. Something that I don't think gets highlighted enough about Elik Aiemanir's game is, yeah, he may not be as fast as Chimere Adike. He may not be as fast as Calvin Ridley, but he's not slow by any means. Elik Aiemanir has got some wiggle to him. He's much more than a big, physical, jump ball type receiver. He can run. He can definitely run with those guys. So I think that is something that has been impressive about Elik Aiemanir's game. And then also something that I've kind of picked up on, just kind of observing him, being around him throughout practice and before training camp begins, he's very cerebral. And I'm sure that that can be reasoned with, considering he did graduate with a degree from Stanford, and that is not for the faint of heart. But in terms of football IQ, he's very observant of the veterans in the wide receiver room, guys like Calvin Ridley, most notably, Tyler Lockett, who, yes, was very limited in what he could do leading up into training camp, but he still is a great resource for a young receiver like Ayo Manor. And Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson has not necessarily had the production over his NFL career, but he's still a good resource because he's been around great receivers and he's been in the league for quite a while. So one thing that I wanted to highlight about Ayo Manor is one of the last days that the Titans media was out there before we had our 5-week hiatus before the start of training camp. I believe it was TD who was talking to Ayo Manor about what he's seen from Calvin Ridley. And one of the great things about Calvin Ridley is every route he runs, he makes it look like he's running a fade or go ball. And one of the sayings among wide receivers is everything is a fade until it's not, meaning your releases look the same, but you could be running a slant. You could be running an out. You could be running a hitch, whatever. A comeback, curl. Ayo Manor's picked up on that. So he's tried to model that part of his game after Calvin Ridley, which is super impressive for a rookie, that he's already picked up on that, and you can see that start to translate out on the field at practice. So that's super impressive and notable for a rookie wide receiver, and clearly having those three veterans in the wide receiver room that I just named, Ridley, Lockett, and Jefferson, it's going to be a big help, not just to Ayo Manor, but the other rookie pass catchers. And TD and I have said on this podcast, I believe eventually he's going to work his way up to being the Titans' number two wide receiver. And I think at some point he's going to be the starting X receiver. Could be week one. Who knows? But this is a guy that I've been high on, and then other people are starting to see as well throughout practice. So he's a guy I'm very excited about. Number two, Gunnar Helm, tight end, rookie fifth-round pick out of Texas. I love this pick when the Titans made it as well. He was such a reliable target for Quinn Ewers during his time at Texas. He did get drugged through the mud for the 40 time that he ran at the combine, it was, I believe. But most people didn't understand that he had some swelling on his ankle the size of a softball. But yet he still decided to run the 40. I'd go as far to say most people, if they had that type of swelling, wouldn't run the 40 at all. So, because they would be worried that that would hurt their draft stock. But I think that shows that Gunnar Helm decided to still run the 40. I think that shows just the type of competitor that he is, the type of worker. And then just seeing him out there at training camp, he looks a lot quicker than his 40 time might reflect. So I think that is very encouraging. He was at tight end university last week, got to learn from some of the best in the game. He was the only Titans tight end representative there. And he got to learn again from guys like George Kittle and Travis Kelce and just being a sponge and soaking in as much information as possible. I think that can only benefit a guy like Gunnar Helm, who has not played an NFL snap yet, but is looking to make an impact as a rookie. So considering the other tight ends in the tight end room, you have Chig Okonkwo, you have Josh Wiley, David Martin Robinson, Thomas Odukoya, Drake Dabney, who is an undrafted signing out of TCU. I'm just going to focus on Chig Okonkwo and Josh Wiley for right now because those are two of the main Titans tight ends as it stands right now. Chig Okonkwo is on the final year of his deal. There were some flashes of what Chig can do as far as playmaking ability. I think about the screen that he took to the house against the Houston Texans in Houston. Like that's an example. Chig Okonkwo is I'd say by far the most athletic tight end in the Titans tight end room. Blocking, a little bit of a question mark. I'd say Chig is definitely more of a pass catcher, and this is no slight to him. He's definitely more of a pass catcher than he is blocking, and I know blocking has been a focal point on something that he's been trying to develop. Josh Wiley, to be frank with you, is a 6'7 body, plays the tight end position like a power forward would in basketball. But there's so much left to be desired, especially for, you know, a guy like me. Like, I talked to Josh Wiley. I'm like, hey, man, like, the way you go up for jump balls, you can really tell that you use your body and your size to your advantage, but it just has not translated onto the field. And a lot of that can be related back to health and availability, but there's so much left to be desired for a guy like Josh Wiley. And I just want to see more. I want to see more out of Chig too. But a guy like Gunnar Helm, I think, can have a major impact because all around, I feel like he doesn't necessarily do anything to an elite level, but I feel like he's pretty good at everything that you'd want in a tight end. He's a good blocker. He was a reliable target for Quinn Ewers, and playing in a Steve Sarkisian offense at Texas requires you to be versatile. So, and he proved that. Now, that was at the collegiate level, and he's making the jump now to the NFL, but I think he can have an impact. And especially, this is something too, getting drafted at the same time as your hopeful face of the franchise in Cam Ward. Chig has already been in the league for a while. Josh Wiley has a few years under his belt as well. But Gunnar Helm was drafted at the same time as Cam Ward. So I think them growing together and kind of arriving at the same time, I think that means something. Moving on down the list, James Williams is my third kind of under-the-radar impact player for the Titans. There's been a lot of question about who's going to be the number two inside backer next to Cody Barton, and I think it's going to be James Williams. James Williams got a ton of reps next to Cody Barton throughout OTAs, throughout the mandatory minicamp. And that can only serve to benefit James Williams and obviously Cody Barton, who will be playing next to him. But this is a guy in Williams who was a former five-star safety, played safety in college at Miami, made the transition to linebacker. That's what the Titans originally had in mind when they took him in the seventh round last year. And you know what they kind of say about transitioning from safety to linebacker, and it vice versa. It works the same if you're making the transition from linebacker to safety. If you're a safety going to linebacker, it probably means that you don't have the speed, at least at the NFL level, to play safety. So you move down to linebacker, and you could be considered a quicker linebacker. And if you're a linebacker who's really, really fast, you might be able to make the move up to a strong safety. James Williams, again, he's not a guy that has elite level speed to play safety in the NFL, but he could be considered a quick linebacker. And also, just seeing him at practice, this is a guy whose size immediately jumps out at you. He's long, he's rangy, loves contact. I'd consider him a mauler. This is a guy who loves just to play the game of football and to hit. He's a mauler. Cody Barton, who's going to be the starting middle linebacker for the Titans, really good at finding the ball carrier, finding the football, has a nose for the football, and being able to locate the ball carrier. And I think if James Williams can be a guy that, you know, will come in for cleanup duty, again, I think that that's really good value for considering where he was drafted in the seventh round. Again, got a lot of reps next to Cody Barton in training camp, but this is a guy that really doesn't have much of a choice. He has to step up and play this year, and obviously Cedric Gray is going to be in the mix as well, a fourth round pick out of North Carolina last year. So those are two options for that inside linebacker position. Moving on to four, Jarvis Brownlee got thrown in the fire last year as a rookie, a fifth round pick out of Louisville. Got thrown in the fire due to injuries in the secondary, L'Jarius Sneed being the most notable. I thought he played pretty well for the most part, did have some penalty issues, but I think that that is kind of the risk you run with a player like Brownlee, who's very physical, and his strength is being able to jam receivers at the line of scrimmage. Jarvis Brownlee is not a guy that you should expect to keep up with guys like Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson. He's not going to mirror those guys all over the field. What Jarvis Brownlee's strength is when he's in press or when he's in man coverage and you kind of have that cushion, that window to be able to jam guys, that's Jarvis Brownlee's strength. He's a very physical, and you can tell just by talking to him, this is a guy that loves the physicality aspect of being a football player. So, again, that's kind of the risk you run with a player like Jarvis Brownlee are the penalties, and that was certainly an issue for him last year. But considering he was just a young pup, a fifth-round pick, a rookie, you can kind of understand those struggles in year two. But what I want to – or excuse me, in year one. But what I want to see in year two from Jarvis Brownlee is I want him to keep that physicality. I do. I don't want that to ever leave him. Here's what I want to see. I want to see him get his head turned more on deep balls when he's guarding a receiver, because if you don't get your head turned around on a deep ball, the refs are more likely to throw the flag for pass interference. But when you get your head turned, they're less likely to do that. So that's one thing that I want to see. And really just the second goes hand in hand, decrease penalties. And I think if Jarvis Brownlee can make that jump, I think it'll be a successful year for him, and really was encouraged by what I saw from year one. The last player on this list, Tajay Spears. I'm going to be honest. I think I considered talking with TD, I considered an honest show. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat anything. I'm just going to tell you exactly how I see it. Tajay Spears is on this list for a couple reasons, but I just want to see more. I just want to see more. I watched this dude play in college at Tulane, and considering where he got drafted on day two and round three, this is a dude that should have more of an impact on the offense, because I love football. It is what I do for a living. I watch it. I coach football. I know what I saw out of Tajay Spears at Tulane. Very versatile back. Has electric playmaking speed, can catch out of the backfield. Once he finds a hole, he's gone. Or a crease, he's gone. I know what I saw out of this guy at Tulane. And I want to see more of that. And we just haven't. You haven't got the type of production out of Tajay Spears that, considering where he was drafted, you haven't gotten the type of production that his where he was drafted warrants. So, Tony Pollard is a guy that got a bulk of the carries last season and did very well with the carries that he received. But he struggled with injuries that were often undisclosed at the time of the regular season. If Tajay Spears is able to get incorporated more in the offense, there's not as much pressure on Tony Pollard to be a quote-unquote workhorse, because Tony Pollard and Derrick Henry, not necessarily the same player, right? Derrick Henry, you could do that type of stuff with, and one of the great things about Derrick Henry is his longevity. Like, he just did not get hurt a whole lot. Tony Pollard, not the same back. And that's not a bad thing. It's just different players. If Tajay Spears is able to get incorporated more in the offense and kind of balance that out, and you have a good 1-2 punch at running back, that takes a lot of pressure off of Tony Pollard, and that takes a lot of pressure off your rookie quarterback in Cam Ward. Because if you have a good run game, Cam Ward doesn't have to go out and necessarily be Superman all the time. But if you don't have that run game, then Cam Ward starts having to be Superman, and you don't want that type of pressure on a rookie quarterback. So, again, I know what I saw out of Tajay Spears in college, and I want to see that more. So those are the five players that I see being able to make an impact on this team that are kind of under the radar, not as talked about. Alec Aomanor, Gunnar Helm, James Williams, Jarvis Brownlee Jr., and Tajay Spears. We're going to go ahead and head to a break, and we'll be right back.
This is Jefferson, and I'm talking with TD.
Only right that we play Living in America on this great 4th of July week. By the way, I hope you have a fantastic holiday. Spend time with family, with friends. Make sure to put on lots of sunscreen because that heat, especially in Middle Tennessee right now, no joke. So we were supposed to have Chris Sanders on during this segment, but he's on vacation in Gatlinburg. I don't know what that's about. Can you believe the audacity of some people to go on vacation when there's football to be talked about? I can never. Anyways, so in the first segment, I talked about five impact players that I could see stepping up for the Titans, kind of under the radar guys that can make an impact for the team in 2025. Well, now in this segment, I want to talk about some questions that I have. And there are a lot. There are a lot of holes still left on the roster, and there were still a lot of holes after the Titans went out and got some guys in free agency. But here are some of the main questions that I have heading into the 2025 season. My first question is the defensive line. You let Harold Landry go to New England to be reunited with Mike Vrabel. He was the team's leader in terms of sack production last season. Now that he's gone, the leading sacker from last season is Arden Key, who had 6. And Jeffrey Simmons was right underneath him with 5. And the Titans didn't necessarily go out and get some superstar edge rusher in free agency. Now that, you know, teams are inquiring about TJ Watt and this whole Trey Hendrickson ordeal with the Cincinnati Bengals, Paul Kaharsky has reported that the Titans have no interest in those guys, not because that they don't believe those guys are great players. They are. But in terms of what the team is looking for and what their motto has been, draft, develop, retain, it just wouldn't make sense for the team as it stands right now. So they need some guys that to step up. Jeffrey Simmons being the leader in the clubhouse. He had 5 sacks last year. Jeffrey Simmons, if you've watched him, especially on tape, is great at drawing double teams. Jeffrey Simmons is a really, really, really good defensive tackle in the NFL. Brian Callahan actually mentioned this in one of his press conferences before practice one day. I can't remember exactly if it was in OTAs or minicamp, but regardless, he mentioned that he wants to see Jeffrey Simmons take that next step in actually getting the quarterback down on the ground. So that's the next step for Jeffrey Simmons. He needs to be doing that. He's talked about it. He's worked hard this offseason and trying to accomplish just that this year. The coaches have been very open about that. That's the next step for Jeffrey Simmons. But opposite of him, I'm not exactly sure who that next guy is going to be that helps out Jeffrey Simmons. T'Vondre Sweat was drafted, but he was drafted more so just to eat up space, which he was pretty good at in his rookie season. Now, obviously, there's some room for development there, but you're not relying on a guy like T'Vondre Sweat to go and sack the quarterback. That's just not what he was brought in for. Arden Key? He's all right. But what about Femi Oladejo? He was a second-round rookie. Now, he's very raw because he played inside linebacker at UCLA, made the transition to edge rusher, you know, early in the season last year for the Bruins, and the Titans draft him in hopes that he will be able to develop as an edge rusher. Now, just watching him in practice, physically very impressive, and he seems like a very bright man, so there's hope there that he will be able to develop. But in terms of overall defensive line depth, not great. Not great for the Titans. So that's the biggest question that I have for the team. Staying on the defensive side of the ball, the secondary. The secondary I have a big question with too, because I know Imani Hooker, we know what he is, The Titans brought in Xavier Woods from free agency from Carolina. Roger McCreary is this team's starting nickel. Jarvis Brownlee, who is a second-year player. Still don't know about L'Jarius Sneed's health, but Gabe Judy-Lawley got a bulk of his reps during OTAs and minicamp. Pretty young group. Pretty young group. The oldest guys, Imani Hooker and Xavier Woods, are your safeties, but there's still a lot of young, raw prospects out there in your secondary. And to be honest, when I was watching them throughout practice, they didn't really stand out that much. Now, I wouldn't classify any of these as concerns yet because the season hasn't started, but as of right now, I'll just call them questions. So, the secondary, big question mark. Something that TD and I talked about last week, balancing the run game. Take some pressure off Cam Ward. Tony Pollard, we know what he is, but I want to see Tajay Spears. I want to see more out of Tajay Spears, as I alluded to when I was talking about him being an high-impact player for the team this year. I want to see it. I know what I saw in college, and I just want to see it. And adding more balance to the run game takes a lot of pressure off of a guy like Cam Ward. And a lot of pressure off of fellow running back Tony Pollard. And having a 1-2 punch can be really beneficial for a team. But a lot of that run game relies on the offensive line, which could be another question, because you have a left tackle in Dan Moore, first year in Nashville, playing next to a left guard he's never played next to before in Peter Skoronski. And Peter Skoronski is playing next to a left tackle he's never played next to before. Lloyd Cushenberry coming back from injury. Don't know how he's going to look, but he's been established in the NFL. And then you bring in right guard Kevin Zeitler, who's never played next to Lloyd Cushenberry, and he's never played next to right tackle J.C. Latham, who flipped over from left tackle. On paper, if we're going off paper, the offensive line looks better than last year. But games are not played on paper. They are played on the field. So how is this offensive line going to look? Because that'll heavily determine how the run game will look. And also, having protection for a rookie quarterback, that's nice. But we just don't know. We don't know how that offensive line is going to look. And one more question that I have for the Tennessee Titans in 2025. I have my guesses. I have my speculations. But who's going to really step up as the number two guy next to Calvin Ridley? Calvin Ridley was a 1,000-yard receiver last year, and I think that speaks a lot to what he still has in the tank, considering Will Levis was the quarterback for most of the year, and then when it wasn't Will Levis, it was Mason Rudolph, and he still managed to get 1,000 yards. But Nick Westbrook-Ikhine led the team in touchdowns last year, but he's now playing in South Beach. So who's going to be your number two? I think eventually it'll be Alec Ayomanner. I really do. But I'm not sure how much is going to get thrown at him right away. What about Tyler Lockett? I'm not sure, because Tyler Lockett is getting up there in age. It's a one-year deal for him. I still think he has a little juice left in the tank, but I just don't know how much. Van Jefferson, asking him to be a number two receiver, if you just solely look at his statistical production over his NFL career, he had one really good year, but I don't think that's what you'd want to see from a number two wide receiver. I believe that year was with the Rams. Last year in Pittsburgh wasn't great. But who's going to be the number two receiver? So that's five questions that I have for the Tennessee Titans heading into 2025. Again, these could end up being concerns, but if we're keeping a half glass full approach, we'll just classify them as question marks right now, because don't want to make too much of anything before training camp even starts, because that's when, you know, the pads start to come on, and that's when more of our questions will be answered. We'll go ahead and head to a break, and we'll be right back with a very exciting exercise.
Monty Hooker, and I'm talking with TD.
Don't need nothing but a good
Hey, listen, I had a pretty good time with this exercise that we're getting ready to do. Like I mentioned in the first segment, I decided to take the challenge head on, and I'm going to predict the final 53-man roster for the Tennessee Titans in 2025. Look, it wasn't easy. Some tough decisions had to be made. This is only a glimpse of what a GM and a head coach and a president of football ops have to do once this time of year arrives. And just by doing a simple exercise like this, I'm not actually cutting anybody. The coaches and the general manager and the rest of them are the ones that actually have to do it. So I couldn't imagine how difficult of a job that actually is. But I just wanted to take some time and share my final 53-man roster projection for the Tennessee Titans in 2025. Let's go ahead and get into it. So I'll start on the offensive side of the ball. I'll go position by position, then we'll flip over to the defense. So quarterback, Cam Ward, Will Levis, Brandon Allen. That's three of them. So there are four in the room right now, including Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle is going to be the one that gets cut. He's kind of been a journeyman throughout his career in the NFL. Cam Ward obviously is going to stay. He's the number one overall pick. I do not believe Will Levis gets traded. The organization has said that they have not considered trading Will Levis, and I know that sometimes they're not always telling the truth. I understand that, but I don't think Will Levis gets traded. And then I believe Brandon Allen was brought here for a reason by Brian Callahan, considering their history in Cincinnati. Brandon Allen is not the most decorated veteran quarterback, but he has been in the league for a while, so he can share some wisdom that he's learned with a guy like Cam Ward, and he can even share it with a guy like Will Levis, who are young in their NFL careers. So three, Cam Ward, Will Levis, and Brandon Allen. Moving on to the running backs, I think the Titans will keep four. Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, Julius Chestnut, and Khalil Mullings. Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, the obvious ones. Khalil Mullings was a draft pick. Granted, he was the last pick that the Titans made, but I still think that the Titans see some value there. So I believe he will be on the 53-man roster come 2025. Haven't really gotten to see much of Khalil Mullings because he has had an abdominal injury that has prohibited him from participating in OTAs, minicamp, things like that. But Julius Chestnut is a guy that's kind of just always found a way to stick around. And Julius Chestnut, I thought, has had some moments, some impressive moments. I remember one of the last days of the mandatory minicamp. He had, I believe it was two touchdowns. He received one and then rushed the other one. But the receiving touchdown was actually a bobbling one-handed catch. Very impressive. I think Julius Chestnut makes his way onto the roster. So that's four. Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, Julius Chestnut, and Khalil Mullings. Wide receiver, seven. Now this one is tough on me, guys. And I'm getting ready to get into it, but I'll go ahead and list the seven. Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett, Van Jefferson, Elik Aiemanner, Chimier Adike, Treylon Burks. Pause for effect. Bryce Oliver. Now there's one name that I think we're all thinking about that was not included on this list. And I struggled. I struggled because I've sat here, TD and I both, I have sat here on this podcast and advocated for Xavier Restrepo to make the 53-man roster. And I even went as far as to predict that he would make the 53-man roster. But I went through this list and I was crunching numbers last night and I just could not find a way to squeeze him into the roster. I just couldn't find a way. Now, here's the good thing. This is only the start of July. Training camp is still 3 weeks away. Xavier Restrepo could put on a clinic and make the 53-man roster. Who knows? I know that selfishly that's what I want. It's probably what TD wants. And I know that's what the fans want. Bryce Oliver has just looked very, very, very impressive over the last few weeks of what we were able to see actually at practice. So I could not include him on this list. And then Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett, Van Jefferson, those guys aren't getting cut. Elik Ayomanner and Jahmyr Adeeke, there's too much value there. You drafted both of those guys in the fourth round. Treylon Burks, former first-round pick. This is the last year of his deal. And then, you know, after that, he's probably not going to be on the team. Most likely not going to be on the team. But Bryce Oliver has had too good of an offseason practice schedule so far. So I just don't see him getting left out of the list. Tight ends. Three, Chigakonkwo, Josh Wiley, Gunnar Helm. If the Titans do happen to include four, they kept five tight ends last year. If they happen to include four, I think that fourth will be David Martin Robinson. But again, for this exercise that I did and the guys that I included, I just didn't have enough room, so I had to leave a guy off. Moving on to offensive linemen, Dan Moore Jr., Peter Skoronski, Lloyd Cushenberry, Kevin Zeitler, J.C. Latham, Corey Levin, Jackson Slater, John Ajuku, and Andrew Ruptridge. That's nine. Typically, that's the amount of guys that an average NFL team would include on their initial 53-man roster. I considered having eight, but I think the offensive line is such a priority that you need as much depth as possible. Now I went back and forth on who that ninth guy might be. Jalen Duncan, I considered, but if I'm just being honest with you, I don't think he deserves to make the 53-man roster because it just isn't good. If I know that's very obvious or very blunt, but I just wouldn't include him on the 53-man roster. And Blake Hantz was another guy that I considered because he's honestly a guy that I've been impressed by so far leading up into training camp. He was a, I believe he was an undrafted guy, but he's made some strides in the offseason. So he's a guy that I considered, but just because of numbers, had to leave him off. Defensive lineman, five, Jeffrey Simmons, Tavondre Sweat, Sebastian Joseph Day, Keandre Coburn, and James Lynch. The interior defensive line depth, very thin. Defensive line room in general, very thin. I think as you need as much help as possible. So that's why I included five. Now we go to the linebackers, and this is a mixture of, you know, the inside linebackers, the outside linebackers. Nowadays, I'm not sure if they're some of these outside linebackers are truly considered edge rushers, but technically that's what some of them are. So they will be included on this list as well. So Femi Aladejo, Arden Key, Cody Barton, Cedric Gray, James Williams, Otis Reese IV, Draymond Jones, Lorenzo Carter, and Jalen Harrell. Now, Cody Barton, Cedric Gray, James Williams, and Otis Reese, those are going to be your inside backers. And your outside backers slash edge rushers, Femi Aladejo, Arden Key, Draymond Jones, Lorenzo Carter, and Jalen Harrell. Moving on to safety, I have four. Amani Hooker, Xavier Woods, Kevin Winston Jr., and Mike Brown. I think that that is pretty self-explanatory. Amani Hooker has been the staple of your secondary as of recent. Xavier Woods, you brought him in from free agency from Carolina. He's going to make the team. Kevin Winston, a third-round draft pick, and Mike Brown was on the team last year, got a significant amount of playing time. I don't see him getting cut, so I have four in the safety group. Moving on to defensive backs. Six, L'Jarius Sneed, Roger McCreary, Jarvis Brownlee Jr., Gabe Judy-Lawley, Marcus Harris, and Daryl Baker Jr. Gabe Judy-Lawley, I included on this list because he's gotten a ton of reps with the one. He's actually, it's been him and Jarvis Brownlee Jr. that have been in the initial group to go out while L'Jarius Sneed, who knows what his health is going to be by the time the season arrives. But Gabe Judy-Lawley, I thought has been impressive so far. He's had some pass breakups. He's just looked pretty solid out there. Now, there's still training camp to go in the preseason, and yeah, all that is taken into consideration, but I think he makes this team. He did not make the initial 53-man last year, but he was on kind of the 15-member practice squad and got some playing time last season, and I think he makes the 53-man this year. Marcus Harris, sixth-round pick out of Cal, I think he makes the team. Daryl Baker actually played decently well last season. Thinks he makes the team as well. So that's six. And then obviously your special teamers, you have Morgan Cox, who's the long snapper, Johnny Hecker, who's the new punter, and Joey Sly. So that is three. And that is my projection for the final 53-man roster. Now, I'm going to include the honorable mentions, the guys that I considered, but just because of number purposes, I had to leave them off. So David Martin Robinson, honestly, he's a guy that I'd like to see make the 53-man roster. Now, I don't know where you would fit him in necessarily because someone else would have to get cut. But he's a guy that I'd like to see make the 53-man. He's honestly a guy that I'd like to see more of because along with Chig, I think he's the second most athletic tight end in the tight end room that the Titans have. So I'm rooting for him to make the 53-man roster. Xavier Restrepo, fan favorite. I'd like to see him make the 53-man roster as well. Again, I just don't know where he fits in because if you're a receiver that's kind of on the verge of maybe making the roster, maybe not, you have to contribute somewhere else, preferably on special teams. And I just don't know how much of an impact that Xavier Restrepo is going to have as far as special teams is concerned. But here's a good thing. Here's a good thing about Xavier Restrepo. Actually, there are a couple good things. The first being, towards the end of mandatory minicamp, Xavier Restrepo was an absolute magnet for the football. I mean, it seemed like he was making catch after catch after catch. I mean, there were some days that he had, it seemed like 20 catches during a practice period, during like 7-on-7 and team. So that's really encouraging to see. And then there's a second. If he doesn't make the 53-man roster, there's a chance that he could remain on the Titans practice squad, but you also have to consider the fact that he would have to, you know, pass through the waivers, and you hope that he doesn't get picked up by another team, which I think if the Titans cut him, that there is a good chance that he could be picked up by somebody else. But if he doesn't, you could always keep him on the practice squad. But I know a lot of people are rooting for Xavier Restrepo, and I kind of had to bite my tongue a little bit because I predicted him to make the 53-man roster, and I still think there's a chance, but in this original kind of exercise that I've done, I don't know who to leave out in order to put him on. So that's kind of the predicament I was in, and that's going to be the predicament times 10 that the coaches and the general manager and Mike Borgonzi are going to have to make. Jalen Duncan, I talked about him. I just don't think he's good enough to make the 53-man roster. But, you know, he's been a guy that's been on the team the last couple of years. Blake Hantz, a guy that I thought has made strides in the offensive line group, can play a couple different positions. I know Bill Callahan, Titans offensive line coach, has been high on singing his praises. James Prochet was another guy that the Titans brought in before OTAs and minicamp started. A guy that I could see being used on special teams. He was a guy that I considered as well putting on this 53-man list, but again, I just didn't know where to put him. So that is my first projection. This could change. This could change, but this is my first projection for the 2025 Tennessee Titans 53-man roster. Really appreciate you listening to the show, and appreciate TD for giving me the opportunity to fill in for him this week while he is on vacation. We will be back same time next week with another episode. Make sure in the meantime to subscribe to the podcast Talking with TD wherever you get your fine listening materials, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever. But please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. We appreciate you.